Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on X, the Everything app, at JWright929 ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial, you can always stream us live on the Odyssey app, free to download, free to listen. You can even listen on demand. You can also stream now on the TuneIn Radio app as well as the iHeart Radio app. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on Twitter, on X, at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day, Jeffrey.
George, do we have any Cerrito entertainment options tonight?
You know we do. Come on down, play some general knowledge trivia with yours truly tonight down in South Haven. Dan McGinnis, as we always do on a Thursday.
My company, as he is each and every Thursday on the program, he writes about college football and college basketball for CBS Sports. You can follow him on X at David W. Cobb. Cobb, good day, sir.
Hey, good day, sir. How's that post-golf trip sort of depression? How's that? How are you dealing with that?
It's been tough. It's truly been tough. I said the only negative of the trip was, like, on Sunday, we were just kind of bummed out. We're like, I guess we have to go back to work.
Yep. That's the way it goes.
Yep. That one was a tough one. All right, let's tell everybody we got coming up on the program. We'll get into the tasting menu. We'll set the TV viewing experience for the weekend, a massive weekend on the sports calendar. Although, I don't know if anyone's taking a look at the Sunday calendar for the NFL, the early window, not the London window. It is disgusting. The 12 p.m. Central Time window is just god-awful. We managed to ignore it. Eric Hasselhoff is going to join us during the next segment. The Grizzlies remain winless in preseason play, but we did get Jaren Jackson Jr. back into the lineup. It appears, Cobb, preseason games are like cup games for the Grizzlies. They just don't win them.
That's fine. I don't care. Yep. I don't care about the preseason. I'm just happy that Jaren Jackson Jr. played in the preseason.
It really was like a nice little boost because we didn't have a lot of indication. Like, I think most people kind of thought he's going to play next week, but I did not know that that was in the cards. So that was kind of like a nice little boost for the morale standpoint. So we'll talk Grizzlies with Eric. Get into the list during hour number two. Cobb, did you see Joe Tipton's tweet about the cost of Kentucky's roster?
Yeah, it sounds like they spent more on their basketball roster than they did on their football roster.
I don't think it sounds like it. I think it did. I think it's pretty obvious that maybe Mark Stoops might have a reason for why they look the way they do. So we'll talk about that and more. Jason Smith going to join us during the second hour as well. We'll tell your story, and then we will get out of here. Okay, so Cobb, not really the greatest Thursday night, but we have a full Thursday night. So we have NLCS early, 5:08 our time. So basically an hour and 8 minutes after we get off the air, we have the NLCS game 3. It is kind of banana land that And I get it in baseball, home field advantage maybe isn't what it is, particularly in football or basketball. It is nuts to me that we've had five games in the championship series and they've all been won by the road team.
Yeah, genuinely, that is got to be first time ever, right? I don't know.
That has to feel, and obviously now with the new formatting, so like you can wind up like the Dodgers and the Blue Jays were probably pretty overwhelming favorites coming into this. I guess maybe Seattle, but it felt like the Blue Jays were definitely the favorite, but I don't know. That was just kind of nuts last night. I am waiting for, I would like for a good game in the ALCS. I guess game one was a good game, but it was like a surprise good game because of the fact that the Mariners had the 15-inning game. I think everyone just kind of wrote off like, well, they're just going to lose game one, and they ended up winning and playing well. But other than that, we've had a couple of snoozers. We have ALCS at 7:33, FS1 tonight. Man, baseball will give you some weird start times, won't they? Then we've got the game that I know everybody was looking forward to. In the year 2025, we have Joe Flacco taking on Aaron Rodgers on Thursday Night Football on Prime. This is worth tuning in for just to hear how annoyed Al's going to be.
Yeah, and at the same time, 41-year-old Max Scherzer towing the rubber for Toronto. Like, we're in our prime, man. Like, based on some of these players we're going to be seeing tonight, like, there is hope for us yet. As we sit here in the youth of our 30s.
If I told you that these games were on when we were in college, like, that would make sense.
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
Joe Flacco, Aaron Rodgers, Max Scherzer.
Correct.
Like, we are
like
we
all
are
these
in
games
would have
made sense 15 years ago. It's unbelievable. Then we have Tulsa at ECU tonight. I mean, I'm not even going to try to sell that game. Like, Tulsa at least is playing hard for a new coach, but the thing about the American to me is I think you've got three teams that have clearly separated themselves. I would actually argue two teams have separated themselves. I think eye test tells me South Florida and Memphis are better than Tulane, but Tulane is closer to those two than I think the next closest team, which would be North Texas, who feels like there's a significant gap. It's like those four teams are all way better than the rest of the league.
You know who you're disrespecting, though? You're disrespecting our troops.
That's true.
Disrespecting the Navy midshipmen.
I'll listen to it. I'm disrespecting Navy. I've watched Army enough to know that I'm sorry. Like, I have no faith in them.
No, but Navy's good. Navy's legit.
Yeah, Navy is a credible team. But I still feel like those teams are better.
Yeah, probably. Navy.
Maybe Navy deserves to be where North Texas is. That's
they've
a fair
been skating
point.
By you know close wins, but that's what they do. And then
they can't
you look
play
up
defense.
And it's like
their defense is horrible this year.
But they're hard to stop, so they're going to win close games. That's just the way they operate. So, this one tonight kind of a dud. Tulsa, East Carolina, no real league title implications. There was that brief moment where Tulsa beat Oklahoma State, and you're maybe they're going to be interesting, you know. But no, Oklahoma State is just that bad.
I wonder what Tulsa's coach would shoot at Stream Song.
Oh yeah, he's like the best handicap of any FBS coach.
I think he was in the playoff to make the mid-am. Like he's a legit. Like he's like a plus two. Like he's not
But here's the deal: he can never get an SEC job because it will immediately become like the moment his team loses a game or a prospect flips. If he's the coach of an SEC school, the message boards are going to blame his golf game.
It is funny. We never faulted Spurrier. Like for Spurrier, it was almost like a sign of respect. Like, look how much golf he plays, and he still beats everybody.
Yeah. That's a narrative that you'd love to have. This dude, he's a stick, man. He's like a plus handicap.
Yeah, I think he's like a plus two. Like, yeah, he was in the playoff, I think, to make the actual U.S. mid-am. So yeah, it's not a false narrative. All right, then tomorrow night, we have Louisville at Miami. Cobb, we could perhaps have another good Friday night game. That's 6 p.m. on ESPN. We have Nebraska at Minnesota, 7 p.m. on Fox. We have San Jose State, Utah State. That's actually a sneaky, decent Mountain West game. And then we have Bills return to late night. We have UNC and Cal. I mean, we are at the point now where every time North Carolina plays, it is just fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you never know when it might be the last time we see Bill Belichick put on a headset and coach a football game. I mean, to be quite honest, talking about one of the best to ever do it. And it's just like that train wreck that you can't look away from.
Yeah. And then this will be coming on the heels of, did you see Pablo's got report? He's teasing that Lombardi went to meet with the Saudis in the summer.
Which honestly, like, I mean, why are we railing the guy for it? If you can go get the Saudis to pour some money into North Carolina football, like
we don't care when companies do it.
Yeah, I think it's smart. I mean, it's not like he's got to be out there on the practice field with a whistle. Like, you're the GM, you can go do whatever you want as long as you're getting players.
Didn't one of, I think Colorado maybe took a meeting.
Yeah,
I think that's, if I recall that was a storyline. All right, with Louisville and Miami, I think there is like this question of, doesn't it feel like we're waiting on the Miami letdown game?
No, absolutely. It absolutely does, because Mario Cristobal can't get out of his own way for this long, right? Like, surely at some point in the near future, Mario
Things
Cristobal...
Things are going too well, to your point.
Yeah, right. Like, surely there's going to be a clock management situation that he bungles completely to cost Miami a game. But honestly, you look at their schedule, you look at this game, which in theory is one of the tougher games left on Miami's schedule, and it's like, they're a 13.5-point favorite, and I don't know that they're going to be much less of a favorite for any game that's left on their schedule. So we did our second chance expert picks this week, and I wanted to be a little bit of a contrarian. Everybody else picked Ohio State as their national title winner. I went with Miami.
All right, let's look. Louisville, they're a 13-point favorite. Stanford at home, good God.
24.5.
Oh, you could talk me into the 30s. At SMU, that's still going to be
10.5.
I feel like SMU profiles pretty similarly to Louisville. And granted, you flip it for home and away. Yeah, I think that's still a double digit line. Syracuse at home will be double digits. NC State at home will be double digits. At Virginia Tech will be double digits. And then at Pitt, yeah, I think you're 100% right. I think the smallest remaining spread is going to be SMU, and I still think it's going to be double digits.
Yeah, but it's not as if they haven't been tested. Like, that's the thing. Miami played a fairly tough first month of the season, so they've kind of earned the trust factor, right? Like, Gabe and I were talking yesterday about, who do you trust? That list is very short. Ohio State's on it. Miami is on it. You know, who else is on that list? I don't know. That's not a very long list right now.
I mean, I think you have to say Indiana.
Yeah, you do. You do.
I think the larger point to me is, do we need to elevate Texas A&M there?
I'll get back to you after they play three straight SEC road games. Like, what in the world is that schedule wrinkle all about?
Yeah,
but that's like what they're about to do.
It's like they have the Spurs, like the rodeo road trip, where it's like they're just away from home for 3 weeks. All right, let's get to Saturday, because Saturday is just, I mean, this is just a tremendous Saturday, because it has like everything that I love about the sport. We have actual good games, but then it kind of starts with the theme of what we were talking about with UNC tomorrow night. There are a lot of games where it feels like if this coach doesn't win, he's fired. And then there's also games where it's like, this result feels like it's going to start to maybe like, what's going on here? Let's start first in Nashville. For the first time ever, Vanderbilt is favored against a ranked opponent. Now, I think that says a couple of things. Number one, obviously, what it says about what Clark Lee's done for the Vanderbilt roster, like, and what the powers that be. Vanderbilt is no longer just a helmet that's bad. Like, they have a good, solid football team. Number two, I think it also shows the flattening of the programs. You know what I mean? Like, LSU 15 years ago would not have a similarly talented roster to Vanderbilt. Like, that's just part of the nature. And then I think, honestly, a lot of it, what it tells you is, man, like, nobody has any belief in LSU's offense.
Yeah, no doubt. So the question then becomes, Jeffrey, you preface this Saturday as being the one when hot seats are going to get hotter. Pink slips are coming on Sunday. I'm not saying Brian Kelly is going to be fired if LSU loses.
But you and I both are sitting there. I honestly think there's, unless they just lose out, I would be stunned if he's quote unquote fired. It would be interesting to see if there's enough movement in the carousel if he went and like took another job.
So absolutely. Like, I've got my eyes on LSU as, you know, one of those jobs that It's just, I mean, it's not all that dissimilar than Penn State and James Franklin. It's just a smaller sample size. Brian Kelly is, all right, he's produced a Heisman Trophy winner. He's won some games, but he hasn't had that ultimate breakthrough. And if you lose to Vandy and you put yourself pretty much on the outside looking in at the playoff in mid-October and year four there, when you still haven't, you know, you haven't made it yet, like, it's going to get really uncomfortable there at LSU, especially when, you know, Florida's about to get in the market for a new coach. Penn State's already on the market for a new coach. It's going to be a very active carousel, and I can't imagine LSU fans just sitting idly by and being okay with 8-4, 9-3.
Well, why I also enjoy the Penn State comparison you made, I think this is also true. What we're going to start to see, and I think we saw it with James Franklin, these programs that kind of cash the chips in and they say, like, all right, we're all in for this big season, which is what LSU did for this year, and it's what Penn State did. I think coaches are going to get held way more responsible if it doesn't work out.
Yeah. If you don't get an ROI on that, then it's kind of like, hey, man, this was your chance. This was your shot, and you blew it. And I'm real close to saying that. I mean, look, even if it's not tomorrow or even if it's not Saturday, like, I've seen enough of this LSU team to know that the wheels are going to come off. Like, this is a rickety wagon here. So I think I'd pick Vanderbilt to win this game straight up.
Yeah, I still, in the back of my mind, and maybe it's a helmet thing, I'm picking Vanderbilt on, I can tell you, spoiler alert, it's going to be on bets tomorrow. But LSU still only has one loss. It's not a horrible loss. And, yeah, their offense has been maybe pedestrian at best. I don't even know if you could say that. That defense is freaking awesome, though.
It is. It is
good. And it keeps them in every game.
Yeah, it does. At the same time, though, like,
I mean, to your point, it does feel like, of all the one-loss teams, it feels like they've been the one that everyone has dismissed the most, because in the end, everyone kind of has the same feeling you do. It's like, this offense is just going to cost them games.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, Garrett Nussmeier's a mistake waiting to happen, honestly. He's been the most disappointing quarterback, probably, to me, of anyone in this year's crop of guys that we thought were going to be stars. Like, because you think about it, all right, DJ Lagway, we were looking at the potential, right? Oh, my gosh. Former five-star prospect. Look what he could be. Same with Lenora Sellers. Not in the sense that he was a five-star prospect, but like, oh, look at the potential.
Correct.
Right? We're betting on the upside. Same with Arch Manning. Oh, wow. Like, you know, we're betting.
First-year starter, at least. Yeah.
Sure. But like Garrett Nussmeier, it's like, dude, you're a vet.
What's
like,
your excuse? Yeah,
exactly. And so that's, I mean, to me, he's been the most disappointing of that whole group.
No, I agree. I think we had that discussion of, like, is Arch the most disappointing? And I agree with you. I actually think it's Nussmeier, because it's like, it's not just the, it'd be one thing if I thought he's just missing throws because he's got the oblique and he doesn't have the zip, but he's made horrific decisions. Like, it just feels like every time you watch it. All right. Also, great game in the ACC, Georgia Tech at Duke. Georgia Tech goes on the road. They're actually an underdog despite being the ranked team in the matchup. I'm just highlighting it simply because I feel like people have penciled in Georgia Tech to the ACC title, and I know it's because of the schedule. I still think the ACC could get a little nuts behind Miami.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you look at Duke, you want to write them off because they lost a couple of non-conference games, but don't do that because they're sitting here
undefeated.
In the league.
Yep.
Like, and Darian Mensah is starting to really find it. Like, I think he's playing as well at quarterback right now as just about anybody in college football. And it's interesting, right? Because you think about names in this coaching carousel and this coaching cycle, and if Penn State gets rejected by their top three or four, they're going to call Manny Diaz, and Manny Diaz might be able to say, yeah, sure, and I'll bring Darian Mensah with me. All right, now all of a sudden your quarterback problems are solved too. So I'm just saying, like, that's something to keep an eye on. That dude's playing quarterback at a very, very high level right now.
Maybe I'm wrong. I'd feel like Penn State doesn't get below Matt Rhule.
Yeah, because do you pull the trigger on Franklin that early if you're not pretty sure that you've got everything lined up?
I feel like at the, like, Nebraska, like, this isn't even to, like, poke at Nebraska. I just feel like they're going to put the job in front of him and he can't say no.
Yeah.
And, like, that's the floor. Like, to me, like, that's, I, because, but I also think, to your point, I think on Monday, I think this thing's going to be spinning even more. And then we're going to start to see other jobs open because I think there's going to be some coaches that are trying to get out of town, restart the clock. And then there's going to be a lot of coaches that are either looking for a landing spot or whatnot. And I can see where Manny winds up wanting out. Not, like, I think Duke is actually a low-key good job, and I've made this argument for a while. Like, every coach since Cut has gotten there has won. And they, like, right now, like, Manny Diaz is, it feels like he's got a well-funded roster, so he kind of has a good thing. But I do wonder about the schools that are in the coaches that are in the ACC. I can see where they start to have a little bit of panic because of the uncertainty of the future.
Yeah, that's the big question about this cycle. How easy or difficult is it going to be to pry away quality sitting Power Four head coaches? Like, look at Rhett Lashley at SMU. People are going to put him on hot boards. He's already getting mentioned for the Arkansas job. Yeah, but look at all the money he's got at SMU. Then you look at Cignetti. It's like, oh, well, it'll be easy to get him out of Indiana. How sure are you of that? Same with Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, who, you know, other programs have approached in years past. All right. Well, you might think you would leave the Ole Miss job for a, quote, better, bigger job, but he's had that opportunity before and has passed on it. Matt Campbell, Iowa State, been there a decade now, has had his opportunities to move up and has never done it. So, like, if all these coaches keep staying put, like, who are these big boys going to hire? Like, I think that could be a big overarching question in this cycle.
All right, back to the games where a loss would be interesting. Big Noon in Ann Arbor. If I'm Sharon Moore, I'm not doing the put on the mechanics jacket Monday. Like, I'm just going there and be like, we just have to get better. Like, I get the whole gimmicks and whatnot. But when you do gimmicks like that, it just kind of makes everybody be like, we don't have a serious coach.
Yeah, they don't have a serious offense. That's for sure.
And they have a serious quarterback.
They have a serious quarterback, but they have junior varsity MAC level receivers.
Yes.
So that's a problem.
And the play calling is awful. Like, it's like they're down two scores and it feels like they're just trying to like run the ball. And you're like, what are they doing? And then one that I'm also, listen, I am the Michael Hawkins Jr. stinks guy, but what were they doing playing John Mateer last week?
He was not even close to being effective.
Yeah. Why did the coaching staff not get more heat for that?
I don't know. That it was inexplicable. I mean, he was clearly so far away from being 100%. He gave them no chance to win that football game.
And then on top of that, like, hey, he's always been kind of a YOLO guy. Like, he is risky with the football, and Texas' defense, I think, caught a lot of passes that Michigan's didn't, and so they haven't been burned. But also, if you go and you look at if you look at Oklahoma's schedule the rest of the way, like, I think he's probably safe because they have the power void. But you can
Castiglione, the AD, is on the out, and so they hire a new AD. But I'm with you. It's an absolutely brutal schedule down the stretch. I mean, there's some teams in the SEC that right now, as of today, look like they're having good seasons. But when it's all said and done here, it's not going to look that way because, I mean, pretty much everybody in the league has a really tough, you know, next 6 weeks or whatever. And there's a whole group of squads right now that are 5-1. And some of those teams are going to finish 6-6, 7-5. And things are going to look a lot different than they do today.
They can lose out. And they fit into our category of that's another program that went all in on this roster.
Yeah, but I think you've seen enough with Mateer and Arbuckle to say, okay, let's do this again next year because there's a lot of promise with this.
I do agree with you on that. Like, I still think the most likely outcome is Venables and Mateer and Arbuckle are all back, but like, hey man, like that's just one that I'm flagging a little bit. Also in this window, we have Baylor at TCU. I feel like I'm going to lose another bet on TCU this weekend. Can't wait to do that. Army plays Tulane, and then Arizona is at Houston. Now let's get to the afternoon window because this is just where like everything heats up. So the 2:30 ABC game is Ole Miss at Georgia. At this window, we also have Petrino's home return. What are we calling it?
Yeah, right.
I mean, they were frisky against Tennessee.
They were. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I don't even really think that like Arkansas is a non-competitive team. Like, they have proven time and again, they are a competitive team. But that's kind of been the whole story of that program under Sam Pittman. It's like they are in games. They just can't win games. And I could absolutely see this going the same direction.
No, it almost feels like they're what we used to joke about Vanderbilt, like where they find unbelievable ways to lose games. Like in games, it feels like that they should have. And I know Tennessee had the 17-point lead in the second half. I'm not saying that, like, but this year they have worked really hard to lose games. All right. Also in this window, we have Ohio State at Wisconsin. Thanks to Cobb, I looked up on True Media. In the True Media era, which dates back to 1995, Wisconsin has never been more than a 15.5-point underdog at home. That was last year against Alabama. The last time they were even this big of an underdog was 1999 at Ohio State.
Yeah, this is one, it's got to be done, right? Like, I can't sit here and tell you with 100% certainty that, like, Sunday is the day for Luke Fickell. But if it is, I don't think anyone would be surprised.
So, it feels like, of all the jobs, that one is the quietest. And my working theory on that is they're allowing him to try and find another spot. And so they're just, like, they're being respectful. But the way he talks, like, he was, after the game, like, it was in depression against Iowa. Like, I think he knows it's done. So I think they're trying to figure out where's next.
I mean, what a spectacular flop. The New York Times Athletic tweet, they want to make Arch Manning college football's first flop. I would say that Luke Fickell is a floppier flop than Arch Manning. I mean, this dude was the hottest coach in America 3 years ago, leading Cincinnati to the college football playoff. Like, oh my gosh, is he going to wait for Ohio State to come open? Because, like, wow, he's that good.
Well, remember, he wouldn't leave the Cincinnati team so he couldn't take the Notre Dame job.
Yeah.
And then old defensive coordinator gets the job. And now everybody's wondering, like, hey, man, was Marcus Freeman really the straw that stirred the drink?
Right. And, like, everybody wants to use Nebraska as the cautionary tale for, well, Bo Pelini was doing pretty good, and then they fired him, and look, they got a whole lot worse. But, like, that example is now outdated. All you have to do is look at Wisconsin, which was consistently winning 9 games or whatever under Paul Christ, who had, like, a 70-something percent winning percentage over a long period of time there. And they fired that guy, pulled the rug out from underneath him to go out and get Luke Fickell, who's under 500 in his third season. So, that, to me, like, Wisconsin doesn't get blasted enough for that. I mean, that's horrible mismanagement there.
Nothing kept my portfolio looking better than all the Luke Fickell shorts, because I was like, let me get this straight. The whole world, it was like him and Napier. It's like the whole world is stopping for guys that have won at great jobs in the G5. Like, he had the Ohio State team. They went 6-6. Yeah. I understand there's chaos and whatnot. Literally the same roster the next year went 12-0.
For sure. So, it's got to be over at Wisconsin. Got to be.
All right. Also, another one I'm watching is Michigan State. It seems like the Jonathan Smith experiment is not going well. You keep hearing that he might also be trying to get out before the Sharks start swimming. Texas Tech will continue the beatdown that they are putting on the Big 12. Just a reminder to everyone, be paying attention. If Jeff Sims starts, there's not a number big enough to bet Texas Tech with. Memphis goes to UAB at 3 p.m. And then we also have Mississippi State at Florida. It feels like the result doesn't matter one way or the other. It feels like Billy Napier, because I think their bye week is next week, it feels like on Sunday he's not the coach anymore.
Yeah, that's always awkward. Like, okay, we win and I still get fired. But, I mean, that one's been done for so long.
Yeah, reminder to everyone. But Jimbo at A&M knew he was fired. That was the game where Ross Bjork presented the check to the Aggie boosters for Jimbo's buyout. They beat Mississippi State that night 51-10. He was still fired the next day.
you got to love it. It's time to have a discussion, too, about, well, Florida's going to be the best job that's open in this cycle. Like, how sure are we of that? Unless you are Steve Spurrier or Urban Meyer, like, What evidence is there that Florida is just this amazing job where championships grow on trees? Like, you're talking about two of the best coaches of all time.
Literally, yeah. That's it.
Outside now, of those two.
Well, when everyone does the, well, look at where it is. Since when does a recruiting base matter anymore?
It doesn't. Especially not when you've got all the tentacles of Florida State, Miami, UCF's now a power four school. I mean, there's a lot of in-state competition there, too, and the whole country dips into Florida. So, yeah, you got some talent there, but it's not like the old days where, you know, you get a hometown discount on guys or whatever. So, I mean, it's this idea that oh, well, Florida's definitely a better job than Penn State. I do not subscribe to that notion.
Listen, I'm not saying I wholeheartedly believe it. Yes, Penn State is the third best job in the Big Ten. I think there's an argument to be made it's the third best job in the country.
Sure. I mean, Ohio State, Oregon, probably one and two in whatever order.
And then, I guess that's true. Maybe I should put it fourth. But I think I always have the asterisk with Oregon. Oregon, to me, is only that good of a job if Uncle Phil's still alive.
Yeah, right. I mean, Ohio State is what it is. I mean, Michigan, whatever, depends on your perception. Like, you know, it depends what you value or how you perceive it. But Penn State is unequivocally a top 10 job in college football. To me, Florida might only be fringe. Like, I mean, maybe a top 10 job. But, like, it's all about getting the right hire in there. You get the wrong hire in there, you're not even going to make a bowl game. I mean, crying out loud, it's been, 7 years now since Florida won 10 games. You know, they hadn't appeared in an SEC title game since, you know, what? Dan Mullen's second year or whatever it was. So, I mean, it's just, I just don't get this idea.
To your point, like, my whole thing with Florida is you keep hearing about they have all this money. It's like, prove it. Yep. Because right now you're the boy that cried wolf. Like, you keep talking about all this money that you have. Well, prove it. Like, if you really are. And to your point, the Penn State job and the Florida job are going to be open virtually at the same time. It will be interesting to watch the reporting of who are the serious characters and players for each job. All right. Also, in that window. No, now let's go to the evening window because, man, does it start to crank up. All right. We have we have Texas at Kentucky. It would just be hilarious if, like, Stoops somehow, like, made that game entertaining. Also,
unbelievable.
Texas after Red River in the True Media era, 1-6-1 against the spread. And, like, that includes, like, some bad Kansas games. Like, that, just something to monitor. They take that game pretty seriously. All right, we have Tennessee at Alabama. We got USC at Notre Dame. And we have Missouri at Auburn. So, I think it's true that if Missouri beats Auburn, I think Auburn's open on Monday.
On Monday? Wow. You think it's headed that direction this season?
I think if they lose that game, obviously, I think the way the game plays out probably matters. But, like, you look at it this week, you got a team captain that's booted off the team, and basically it looks like the entire rest of the team's ready to quit. Hugh's blaming everybody but himself. Meanwhile, DJ Durkin's putting together a pretty damn good defense. Like, and so now you're going to start to have the tension of, like, when just a defense might just quit because it's like, well, what does it matter? And so that game to me is wildly fascinating. USC at Notre Dame is interesting in the sense that I don't know if it's officially loser leaves town, but doesn't it have the vibes of if you're going to make the playoff, it feels like you got to win this. I think it's true for Notre Dame. If they lose, they're probably done because I just don't think they have enough the rest of the way. But USC theoretically could still be in the Big Ten picture.
I mean, they could, right? But if they were to take a second loss at this point, feels really unlikely that USC would make the playoff. But I think if USC wins this game, we're talking about Lincoln Riley and that program in dramatically different terms. Because if you beat Michigan and Notre Dame in back-to-back weeks, it kind of puts to rest this idea that you're soft. So, I mean, that could be a huge kind of paradigm-shifting week for Lincoln Riley.
And then let's go to Tennessee at Alabama, the third Saturday in October. This is kind of one of those ones where it's a vibes feel. I think the way it, you tell me if you agree, it feels like the way these two teams are trending is the opposite direction, where Alabama, everyone thinks, like, all right, maybe they're exactly what we thought they were coming into the year. They're playing really well. Ty Simpson's a Heisman candidate. And Tennessee's like, well, they haven't looked really that good, but they've won their last two games, and it just feels like vibes are kind of trending down. I know the game's in Tuscaloosa. Something tells me this game might get weird.
Yeah, Tennessee's getting no respect here. That line keeps creeping even, you know, more and more and more towards
I'm hoping I can
Alabama.
Get a 10.
So to me, this game will be decided by Tennessee's ability to, on first and second down, bottle up the Alabama run game. Because here's the deal. Alabama gives up a lot of sacks. Ty Simpson's been sacked 4 times in the last two games. Tennessee is second nationally in sacks. So if you make Ty Simpson be in the pocket, stand in the pocket on third and long, and look for receivers downfield, I think that Tennessee pass rush could get home. And that's going to be huge, because if you can get Alabama off the field, then all of a sudden you got a shot, because Alabama's just been bleeding the clock on everybody. I mean, they're controlling the ball 35, 36, 37 minutes a game. And then Tennessee, the way they play, they go so fast that, like, that's my concern from the Tennessee side here. Like, if you can't get Alabama off the field and get some 3 and outs defensively, like, you're going to look up and it's going to be like 42-17 in terms of time of possession. And that Tennessee defense is going to get worn down. So, like, that's my concern. But if Tennessee's pass rush can get home and get Alabama some third and longs, like, I absolutely believe Tennessee has a realistic shot here.
No, I don't know why. It's just purely a vibes play that I just kind of think Tennessee's a little live in this game. All right, we also have the Holy War at 7 p.m. That's going to be on Fox. Also, later, we have Nevada at New Mexico, and then we have Florida State at Stanford. As a reminder, like, that's another one. That's another job I'm watching.
No doubt. Yeah, at 2 a.m., you know, Eastern time, Mike Norvell is at risk of losing his fourth straight.
Has not won a conference road game since the undefeated year.
Yeah.
So something to monitor. We'll discuss that Georgia-Alabama game a little bit more later, because there's a few things that I want to talk about with Cobb. We'll move that to the list. All right, let's take a break. Let's talk some Grizzlies. Eric Hasseltine is going to join the program next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. Mm. You can make a budget for your wallet. Ooh. To help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including ARC. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
Music means we welcome to the program the Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network play-by-play announcer. He, of course, is Eric Hasseltine, joining us from beautiful Miami, Florida. Eric, I guess let's start here. When did you start to get word that we were going to see Jaren play last night?
really kind of before the game, he participated in the shoot around, which obviously I can't disclose that when it happens, because it really doesn't always mean anything. But then before the game and at media availability, Tuomas had said after the shoot around that he was trending towards playing, and he worked out before and he was cleared to go. And, you know, first possession, they went right to him, which I thought was really smart. You know, I thought, get him going early. He started out well. And then, you know, as tends to happen with guys coming back, they kind of hit a run where the shots just don't seem to fall and things like that. So yeah, it was good to see him back out there, but we kind of got word a little before. Michael kind of thought, having been around practice a couple of times, that it was getting close. And so he was prepared for it either to be that game or tomorrow night potentially. I think they wanted to get him a little bit of work in before it kicks off for real on Wednesday.
Eric, what's been your impression of Javon Small? Looked like he had a pretty nice game last night. Still definitely in that prove yourself sort of status as a second round pick, but I mean, dude, he looks like he's been playing pretty well.
I thought he played well last night. I thought last night was the progression, and he was confident in his shots, and obviously they went in, so that helps. You know, he's aggressive defensively, but he's a tad undersized. And some guys, especially like a LaMelo Ball, who's 6'7", but, you know, he's going to take the challenge. He got hit a couple of times pretty solid, and being courtside, see how hard those guys take shots. And so that was nice. And then I think the area he needs to clean up a little bit moving forward, which is just part of learning the NBA game, is knowing what passes you can throw and what passes will not work in the NBA. And I think we've seen a lot of times he'll come in and throw a lob or an alley-oop that just really doesn't have much of a chance of completing. And it's stuff that, you know, probably in college you had guys that could go get that. But in the NBA, when everybody's super athletic, those are a little tougher and an easier pass. But I also get it. I also get that you have to, to test the waters and you got to play with confidence and you got to try to make plays and you got to try to show you're capable of making plays. So, I think it's looked solid. It's a nice option to have, you know, behind Ty and behind Scotty and the more depth you have at that position, the better off your roster can be. And right now, you know, I know there's a lot of concern because the results are not there, but you have to factor in you're missing, you know, until last night you were missing five of your main eight rotational players. And, you know, now you're still missing four when you talk about, you know, Brandon and Zach and Ja and Scotty not being available and even Ty Jerome last night. So we really haven't seen this team all together. The problem is, you only have one more dress rehearsal before that's it. And it counts for real. And obviously we're all hoping that 12 can be back on Wednesday night. We all know that Zach Edey and Brandon Clark will be more into November and hoping that I'm sure Ty is fine. I think it was just a rest night and you know, you're hoping Scotty's good to go opening night. So if you're down to just missing Brandon and Zach, yeah, that's a lot, because that's a lot of rebounding. Two of your best reboundees, arguably your best two rebounders. So I didn't think the rebounding last night was a huge problem. I thought right now it seems like they're figuring out the offense, and you got to figure out how to be able to attack the basket as well as get your looks from three, because I think they shot 60 of them last night. But inside the arc, all of their drives were contested. They were all like one-on-one. There wasn't a lot of action to make an extra pass and have a free line in. And the Hornets, to their credit, did. You know, that they were getting good ball movement and the ball wasn't sticking. And I think when you play with new players, sometimes the ball does tend to stick. Guys hold it. They're not sure what other guys are, where they're going to be or where they want the ball. And that comes with experience. And, you know, other than a couple of guys in that Hornets rotation, you know, Brandon Miller, LaMelo Ball, they've played together. Those are their main guys. And when your main guys are on the same page, it matters. So hopefully that can clean up a little bit tomorrow night and a couple of extra days of practice. And then, you get a division rival coming in for opening night before two Eastern Conference teams come in over the weekend.
Eric, obviously it's going to be impacted somewhat based on availability, but from the kind of the way things are going, how many guys do you think are going to be a part of the rotation right now?
I think at first it has to be more than what it will be in the next, in a month or so. I think you got to see who fits well together.
Yeah.
But I think your starting five, when healthy, looks pretty clear to be Ja, Jalen, as Michael calls him, Kenny Caldwell Pope or Kentavious Caldwell Pope, because I guess Kentavious says that he's not a fan of the KCP moniker. So we'll abide by that. And then Jaren and Zach are your starting five with your main, power coming off the bench with, I think you look at Scotty and you look at Ty Jerome, obviously, and you look at Santi and Brandon when healthy, and that's nine. And then you got to throw Jock Landale in there for some minutes at the center. And then now you've got, Cedric Coward, John Conchar, Gigi Jackson, Vince Williams towards the back half of that, and whether it's Cam Spencer or Javon Small, you can only go 15. And so I think you go into the 10 within an 11th and 12th, getting some minutes, spot minutes. It depends on injuries, but I think as you wind it down, I think you got to get these guys into an 8-9 man rotation with solid minutes, and then a ninth or a tenth coming in for the spot minutes you need. But you need your guys to play. I mean, I understand the load management. I understand all the analytics and science behind it. I also know that in the wild, wild west, that losing a game in February or January or even December, that you shouldn't lose because guys aren't, you try to manage the minutes for April can lead you to being out in April faster. So it's a really tough spot to be in for a coach, for a training staff. And, they're trying to do what's best long-term, but, we look at a couple of the seasons for the Grizzlies. I mean, even last year before where, not the injury plague year, obviously, but the year before that, where Denver fell back at the end of the year and you only finished a game behind them, where you kind of felt like you couldn't catch them, so you started getting guys some rest, and then Denver kind of took a step backwards, and you ended up with a 2 seed instead of a 1 seed, which drew you the Lakers in the first round. And last year, obviously injuries had a big hand in that, Ja not being available, for about a third of the season, but part of the deal, we all understand that. But when you had other nights where guys were not deemed available and maybe could have gone, and you didn't win a game that you thought you should have. But, again, it's easy to look at hindsight's 2020. I just think with as competitive as the West can be, and you gotta be cognizant, because even the teams that are not going to be in the top 10 are gonna rise up and beat some teams some nights. And we were talking about that last night a little bit. When you look at who are the 10 teams that right now you would say have the best shot. Well, there's six kind of that you think are the shoe-ins, obviously, with Oak City and Houston. I think you put the Clippers in that mix. I think you put Denver in that mix. I think you put Minnesota in that mix. And then whether it's Golden State, I think you put Golden State in that mix with LeBron being out and, in the beginning of the year, whatever the situation's going to be there. But then you have now who are the next four? Lakers, Kings add Russell Westbrook. What's that going to look like? With basically a Bulls 2.0 core with LaVine and DeRozan. And then you've got obviously the Grizzlies in that mix. And I think the Spurs are in that mix. Portland could be sneaky. You're talking about Dallas. Where do they fall in? I think that the teams you look at that are clearly looking on the outside are like Utah, probably Phoenix, even though you still have Devin Booker. And where does Portland find, like I said, they could be sneaky. What does New Orleans do? Is Zion able to play? How does that mix come together? There's a lot of question marks. And so you just got to hope that it's, as we said, the war of attrition, you've got to hope you stay as healthy as possible all year and, see what happens to the other guys. What will Dallas be without Kyrie Irving, in that mix? Yes, they went and got D'Angelo Russell and Anthony Davis. How healthy is he able to stay? What impact does Cooper Flagg have? There's a lot of things that come into play in this. And, I know a lot of people want to look at like the Spurs and say, well, Wembanyama's third year and Castle's second year, and they went and got Dylan Harper, and they've got other pieces there. Yeah, but is it a guarantee that they all come together right away? Then we'll see that, but they've certainly have talent. So it's brutal, man. I look on the other side and I'm like, but then again, you look on the other side and you think, well, Charlotte will struggle. And then they look last night, they look fantastic. They look like the ball's moving. They look like they're playing with confidence. Brandon Miller healthy, LaMelo Ball healthy. They could be a dangerous team that people sleep on a little bit early season and maybe build enough of a cushion to make a run. But, you know, the injuries have impacted Indiana. They've impacted Boston. Milwaukee kind of getting off a lot of guys and, you know, moving guys around. And where are they going to be? So it's going to be – I don't know, man. This is my 25th season here, basically 29th season covering the NBA on a pretty full-time basis. And I really don't remember – looking at a year where there are so many questions around the entire league. I think the one thing you know is that Oklahoma City is on the top of the mountain and they're who everyone's gunning for. Yet I keep hearing a lot of people say, hold the phone. You know, you get that taste of that championship champagne. Is the hunger still there? Will Denver be hungry? Will this team be hungry? I don't know. They just last year, I think I told you guys, they were the best team I saw during the regular season. And it wasn't really that close. I mean, they were just complete top to bottom. And again, they get, you know, Chet healthy, a healthy Chet Holmgren all season long. It's going to be interesting to see where they go. But after that, a lot of things could happen and there could be a lot of shakeup this year, without a doubt.
So you talk about it being a war of attrition, and I mean, that's what it is in the NBA. And that's part of why I'm pretty high on the addition of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. I might've mentioned this to you before, Eric, but according to my research, he is the only player in the NBA to play 65 or more games in 12 consecutive
seasons. It's a great stat, Eric. You can use that in your notes.
I will.
So, I mean, are we past the point, though, with this Grizzlies team of like, oh, they need a vet? Like, are Ja and Jaren old enough now to where, like, okay, it doesn't matter as much? Because, you know, during the Taylor Jenkins era, it was always, well, they could use a vet. They could use a vet. They're bringing in Derrick Rose because they need a vet, you know? I haven't really gotten a sense that narrative is out there so much with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, but it absolutely seems like that's what he brings to the table here.
Well, I think, the fact of the matter is pretty simple. If you don't respect the fact that this guy has won championships or, you know, two of them and has been around, you know, two of the greatest players of this generation, without a doubt, with Jokic and LeBron James, then you're missing the point. He's been around young guys. He seems to be filling that role. Here's the thing I always have thought about this. You can't teach being a leader. You can't teach someone to take control of a locker room and step in. And I always do believe respect is earned. And I think his resume gives you the automatic earn of that respect. But if he's not a guy that comes in and wants to be vocal, there are guys like that. You know, Shane Battier was a vocal leader. Pau Gasol was not. They were the same year. When they were getting older, Shane was clearly a leader. Powell was the more quiet guy. Mark Gasol was a leader. You know, Mike Conley was a quiet leader, but a leader, and other guys were not. So just because, you know, it's what, Jaren's seventh year, Ja's sixth year, whatever it may be, our seventh year for Ja, eighth year for Jaren, I think it is now, that doesn't automatically anoint you as a leader. Yes, the young guys will look up to you. How do you handle that? If you just kind of shrug it off and don't take control of it, then it doesn't matter. If you accept that role and embrace that role and lead by example, then yeah, there you go. So, you know, I watch these guys basically go to those two on a regular basis and I see them talking to them and, you know, okay, I can see that they're embracing it a little bit. I see the relationship with Scottie Pippen Jr. and Ja, and that was developing throughout last year. And, you know, at the end of the day, as much as, you know, we look at them as all players on a team, they're all also individuals. And just like we know, there are people in your world that you have an easy connection with, and it flows and you become close friends. And there are other people that you just kind of go, he's not a bad guy, but I don't think I would pick up the phone and call him to hang out.
Eric, we really appreciate it, my man. Enjoy your time in Miami. We're so sorry for you.
Jeffrey, I'm going to send you some pictures. When I do, though, I'm going to need some help with this week's picks. I have some thoughts I need your expertise on.
All right, so let's try to. We got to get back some winners. I had a losing week for the first time this year.
I know. I feel like that's my fault for asking for your help.
No. Listen. It was bound to happen, but we've got to just dig in. You know what I mean?
Like, how about tonight? Just since I'm here, what are we? Miami 13.5 against Louisville at home.
So that's tomorrow. That's tomorrow night.
Oh, I don't know. It is tomorrow night, Friday night. That's right.
So tonight it's ECU and Tulsa. If you want to bet that, be my guest.
No, thanks.
I have no interest because I feel like the right side is take points with Tulsa, but Tulsa also has like zero NIL dollars, so yeah, that can always just backfire. I feel like I'm going to grit my teeth and bet the Bengals tonight.
Oh,
I know.
All righty, against the Yams, huh?
Oh yeah, it's gross. Like he.
Well, I will be watching here in the area by our hotel at one of my favorite spots. I got to get my annual trip for a Cuban sandwich and a mojito at one spot.
Ooh.
And maybe, and I'm not a big cigar guy, but there's a cool little spot right in the entertainment area by our hotel, and sit and watch the game and relax, watch a little baseball, watch a little football, and just enjoy a good Miami night. It was disappointing today, though. My little walking trail over in Brickell Key is closed because they are tearing down. When you're tearing down a Mandarin Oriental, you know the real estate is valuable.
Yeah,
because I've stayed at that hotel. I got a great deal there once. It was about as nice as you could get, and they're just taking it down. They're just saying, "Nope, we can do something better with high rises." This place is it's a different world.
Listen up, football fans! You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.